Welcome to Reaching Out with Anna Twinney. Each week, Anna brings you partners and peers, legends and pioneers in the fields of equine training, animal communication, alternative healing methods and modalities, and so much more. I'm Vincent, your producer and co-host of the show that will inform, entertain, and inspire you to take your training, your work, and maybe even your life to a whole new level. Enjoy the show. Our guest today is Lisa D. She is the owner and proprietor of Vista Caballo, an exclusive equine experiential center based in Dove Creek, Colorado. Vista Caballo is dedicated to self-awareness, the development of human potential and personal growth, and Lisa delights in putting people back in touch with their instincts and their own source of power. The result of her work is profound and lasting change, bringing people to a place where they connect with their power, their instincts, and their true nature. Before Vista Caballo, though, Lisa was a successful entrepreneur, having found and operated two multi-million dollar businesses in New York City for over 15 years. And the National Association of Professional and Executive Women recognized her achievements in 2008, awarding her Woman of the Year in advertising and in personal development. Welcome to the show, Lisa D.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Anna.
That's where you come in and say hi, everyone.
Okay. Hey, Lisa, so you are actually our first guest as a co-author from Horses Teacher Book. So I'm very proud to have you on the show, and it's going to be very exciting to learn a little bit more about who you are and how it came about that you opened your place in Colorado. So why don't we start at the very beginning?
Let's do it.
Thank you so much, Anna. It's a great honor. I really appreciate it. As Vin mentioned, I was the CEO of my companies in New York City, and I was really living the life of Riley. You know, I mean, as far as the quintessential success story, I felt like I really had it. The companies were thriving. I was making a lot of money. I lived in Manhattan. I had my own apartment, and I was just having a wonderful, wonderful time. And then I started to notice something, which I didn't want to notice, but it started creeping up, and it got more and more noticeable. Was, despite, you know, traveling wherever I wanted, whenever I wanted, and doing whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, something inside me was not feeling so great. And like I said, I did my best to distract myself from that because I didn't actually want to look and see what that meant. And it got to the point, I call it sort of hitting the wall, where I couldn't not look at it anymore. I couldn't not hear it anymore. And what I saw and what I heard was actually quite distressing to me, which was that I wasn't living the life that I was supposed to be living, which to my very logical type A brain didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, Lisa, how did it come to show itself when you say it showed itself to me?
Oh, that's an excellent question, Anna. It was a feeling, really. It was really a feeling. Like I said, almost like a disquiet. You know, something that the spas and the shopping and the, like I say, the travel and the adventure wasn't answering any longer. It wasn't fulfilling.
Right. And I think you are really, in effect, describing how millions and millions and millions of people, especially Americans, feel. And I know that this is exactly what Vista Caballo is there to work with. And so for you, how did it show up in your life as far as what changes did you notice in your life? What things were no longer satisfying you? I think you'll speak to a lot of people, and they'll obviously be able to really connect with what you're saying if you have some great sort of examples of how specific things in your life that you were doing just didn't have the same flair or you were finding
even.
You were maybe frustrated with certain people that before you got along swimmingly.
Well, and you know, that is indeed the case, and I'm just taking myself, you know, back to that time, I think I noticed, you know, I was spending more money. So then I was making more money. You know, I made more money so I could spend more money. And I got on that sort of treadmill. And then I had to spend, you know, bigger quantities of money. You know, I had to have more expensive jeans. I had to take myself to more expensive restaurants, and then that didn't work. So then I went the other way, and I tried to get very simple. I did notice that I went to work, but it wasn't with the same spring in my step. I found that it was almost like a deeper calling. You know, what had satisfied me at work and with the company, I wanted sort of more of. I wanted a grander purpose for what we were doing. I probably was. I mean, you'd have to ask the people in my life at the time. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they found me very irritable. I was distracted. I had a hard time sort of holding my focus. And like I said, it was more of almost feeling like I didn't want to stop. I didn't want to slow down, because then I knew that feeling would be very strong.
And did you have, long before this whole sort of disillusionment started, even maybe as a child, did you feel a certain sense of a spiritual connection or a bigger picture connection, or was your whole life sort of going in the direction of the American dream, and then it wasn't until this moment or this period of time that you started sort of waking up?
I would say it was really at this moment that I started to wake up. You know, I had a very fortunate upbringing, and I did have the American dream. You know, I was very well educated. We were very well traveled. You know, I grew up overseas, traveling and living in many different countries. You know, I went to college. I had a wonderful time. And then, like I said, I you know, got out of college. I got my job. I started, you know, my companies. And so really, I thought I was on the path. Mm. But all of a sudden, what I realized is the path ended. And I did my best to continue the path. It was almost like I started laying the stones, instead of what I know now is that everything is laid out for me. Everything is actually laid out for everybody, and all you have to do is follow the path. But I got to the point where I actually was sort of taking stones from behind me and laying them out in front of me, so I had a path to walk on. It became very forced. And like I say, that's what I really started noticing. It was almost like driving a car at full throttle with my foot on the brake. And at some point, the engine started burning out.
So basically, you're describing the beginning of the movie where you recognize that your life's just not working. So now let's get to the good part of the movie, the part where you change. Because I think a lot of people, they feel that dissatisfaction, they feel that frustration, but there's so much fear and commitment to, as you said, to sort of keeping that path going, that they're just not able to take that step forward to create a life that you've created. So what were the steps that you took to get from there to where you are now?
Well, I really appreciate your articulation, Ben, because that is indeed exactly how I felt and what I saw. And what happened was, you know, it didn't happen in a way. It happened overnight, and in a way it didn't. It was sort of an unfolding. Like I said, I tried to drown that feeling out by keeping myself really, 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 really busy all the time. And literally, I was walking down the street of New York City one day, and I just stopped. It was like that scene in Forrest Gump where he was running and running and running. One day he just stopped and said, "Now I'm going home." And I stopped, and I actually burst into tears, which was slightly embarrassing. And I just knew I was done. And I was so scared, and I was so somewhat sort of horrified that my house of cards was tumbling down around my ears. And everything that I had built and worked for me, was no longer real. And in that moment of realization, I looked at myself, and then I realized I didn't know who I was without that, which was even more terrifying. I mean, this didn't happen when I was 20,
yeah.
which, you know, might be somewhat expected. You know, this happened in the height of my success. And I just didn't want to fake it with myself anymore. I'm not saying that I couldn't have, but I just didn't want to. I just knew that it was a dead-end street. And I didn't want to wake up one day saying, well, great, you know, you faked yourself out and everybody else around you is, you know, was really happy because you kept up the facade. Because, I mean, not only was I, you know, was I very invested in my story, I guess, but others were as well. And in that moment of realization that I was not living my truth, and in the terror of going, of realizing I didn't know what my truth was, and I didn't even know where to start. I knew this was not a, you know, go find a guru thing. You know, I knew that the answer was actually not going to come from any person. How could it possibly? It was so much deeper than that for me. You know, it was like it was my soul.
It's funny listening to you speak. You remind me so much of a major experience that I had in my life, which of all places, the romantic and spiritual Peter Pan bus is where I was sitting at the time. And I was just returning from a week-long seminar I had done on something. And I recognized a very similar thing, that my life as I know it is over. And I was very, very sad. I was on the verge of tears almost the entire ride, recognizing I can't fake this anymore. I don't know where to go. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And it sort of cut to the deepest level of my being. That sounds a little woo-woo there, but that's really how it felt.
Yeah, it's true. And then, you know, as I wrote in the story in Horace's Teacher, it does sound very woo-woo, but I heard a voice, and it said, go to the horses. Which, I think if I hadn't been so distressed, I probably would have dismissed it. Because I was living in the middle of Manhattan. Now, I had lived in Texas for 12 years, so if we were going to do the horse thing, that would have been the logical time to do it. But here I was in the middle of Manhattan with this voice saying, go to the horses, and I didn't even know what that meant.
Did you have experience with horses previously, or were horses totally new at that point?
They weren't totally new, Vin. You know, my brother had a horse when we were growing up, and I, you know, I went to pony camp one time, and you know, I've got the picture of when I was, you know, 3 or 4 with my dad on the little, you know, trail pony and stuff. But I wasn't, you know, I wasn't horse crazy. I didn't, you know, grow up and have, you know, pictures of horses all over my walls. I, you know, I had it. I've done. You know, you go to a resort and you ride along the beach or something like that. So I'd done stuff like that. I experimented with playing polo for a little bit when I was in Texas, just because I thought I should do some sort of horse thing in Texas. But it wasn't, you know, this. It never grabbed me. So that's why it was also a bit of a disconnect. Logically, it was a disconnect, but something in me, what I now know as my heart and my soul, was very clear that that's where I was going to find the answer.
And did you have previous, at least, information about the quote-unquote healing power of horses? Or
no.
So you were completely coming from a place of, I have no idea why I'm being told to go to the horses, what the horses are going to do for me, how they're going to fit in, but you still felt like that was the place, the direction, at least, you needed to go.
Absolutely. That's why, like I say, it was so illogical for me. I couldn't make sense of it, but I think that's actually what made it work, was that on one hand, it was all about sense, it was all about instinct, feeling. Something deep inside me knew that that's the connection that I needed, but my brain didn't have any of that type of information.
I love how synchronicities work. Just yesterday, I, for no apparent reason at all, just for pure enjoyment, rewatched Field of Dreams, which is exactly what you're talking about. It's that Field of Dream moment of build it and he will come. I have no idea what I'm building, why I'm building, what this is about. But then the miracles start unfolding as you started doing your work, I'm guessing.
Absolutely, and I'm smiling right now because wouldn't you know it that our wonderful neighbors who have always planted beans, wouldn't you know it that just this year for the first time they planted corn next to us. it's our own little mini Field of Dreams right next to us.
So what was the path? What were the miracles? We're excited to find out.
Well, they were indeed miracles, and I truly believe that the people that showed up were angels. I had a, believe it or not, a block and a half away from my apartment in New York is the stable that services Central Park. So I went over there and you know, took a look at their horses. But even in my naivete, I didn't really subscribe to riding that way or how the horses were kept there. And so I went looking elsewhere, and it was like a window opening because there was a facility in New York, and it's, you know, it's got the rock climbing, it's got the golfing, it's got the swimming, and it has an indoor and outdoor arena. And at the time, and I think it's no longer there, they were actually offering riding lessons. And most of the lessons offered were very traditional, but there was a little flyer up, and it was promoting this guy who taught natural horsemanship. And I thought, oh, that sounds nice, natural horsemanship. I'm not really sure what that is, but that sounds good. So I signed up with him, and I had a couple of lessons, and he knew it, and I knew it, and we looked at it, and he said, you're really into this, and I said, yes, I'm really into this. And I fell in love with his horse. I wanted to buy his horse. He told me to get off of his horse. And he sent me to one of his teachers in Colorado, Pat Pirelli. And I had no idea who he was, but supposedly he was one of the top dogs in teaching natural horsemanship. And I, you know, I got online and I Googled the Pirelli International Study Center, and there was this guy, and you could go and you could study with him. So I did. And I took myself off for my birthday, and I went there for a week. They had an offering that they no longer have, and I hope I'm not responsible for that. But it was sort of, you know, go ride with Pat for a week. And I did. And, you know, this too is in the story. It's you know, I showed up with, you know, my boots and my enthusiasm and my curiosity and not much else. And that was it. That when I got there, as humiliating as many of the experiences were, I knew nothing. I also knew that this is where I found myself, my real self. And it was a pretty wonderful adventure of discovery. And what I discovered was someone I really, really enjoyed. And it was very interesting because in this space of horsemanship, you know, I went from being a somebody in my world to being a nobody in this new world. But in being a nobody is when I found my somebody, if that makes sense.
Yeah, makes
I found who
sense.
I was.
What interests me, Lisa, there's so many directions to go once you embark on natural horsemanship and you feel that connection with the horses, the language of the horse, and that soulful meaning that they share. There's so many ways and places to go. So how did your path direct you next to actually believe that you can create Vista Cavallo and that you wanted to do equine facilitated learning?
For me, when I realized how disconnected I was from myself, and that I couldn't possibly live a life of happiness. I could keep creating material wealth and putting it sort of on top of me and having moments of happiness, but not that real, that true happiness that comes from within, from our deep well source of joy. And once I realized that, it all started to become very, very simple to me. It became very, very clear. And so I started implementing this new knowledge, this new way of being into my life, and it was miraculous. The companies made even more money. My relationships got richer, better, easier. I met the man of, you know, my dreams, my life. Things just started opening, and very quickly, but very easily. There was no forcing anything. And once I started to see it and feel it and experience it, I felt absolutely dedicated to it, and it was like having the cure for, you know, some pretty horrible stuff. And so I wanted to share it. That became my driving passion, was this is too good not to share. And so once again, I didn't really know what it all meant, but I knew that I had to bring everything that I loved together in one place. So I had to get, you know, the horses and Jess and some of my art in one place. And I started looking for a piece of property and found myself looking online at a piece of property in Arkansas. And I realized, oh, wow, I don't know what I'm doing here. So I closed the computer and I just said, look, you know, whatever is meant to show up will show up, you know, like the movie, The Field of Dreams, you know, if you build it, it will come. So I just sort of forgot about it. And 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from a friend of mine, and she said, I understand you're looking for a piece of property. And I said, I am. And she said, well, there's a piece of property going up for sale just down the road from us, and there's no realtor involved, and why don't you come and take a look? And I did, and had a very profound moment on the land because I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I never bought land before. I didn't even know what to be looking for. But I got here, and I'd asked for a sign before I came, and I got three signs. And I just, 2 weeks later, the papers were signed, and that was that. And then the real adventure began because I didn't know anything about anything once again, just like when I first met the horses. I didn't know anything about horses. Well, I didn't know anything about what I realized. I knew very little about living in nature. And so, once again, the learning curve was very, very steep, but we came out here and we cleared an extraordinary amount of debris off the land, first of all, and then we started building. And Vin, you've mentioned synchronicity a few times. Weren't we just lucky that we were the last people on the water main? We were the last people on the electric line. I mean, like I said, I had no idea what to look for. And we built it literally sort of stick by stick from the ground up, and people have started showing up. They started showing up before we even, you know, we'll probably keep building for a long time, but they've been showing up pretty much ever since we put our stake in the ground here. And I truly believe that it's already written or destined, if you will, who comes here. You know, these are people who, like me, know that there's something else, and they know it's not outside of them. They know it's inside of them, and they just really are looking for a doorway to go through, a little bit of maybe new knowledge or someone pointing, saying, you know, go that way. And that's what we have here. That's what's been happening. And it's really getting back to not only ourselves, but our birthright. Joy is our birthright. And when people feel it, really feel it for the first time, everything around them blossoms. Everything. So what I learned, you know, my greatest fear was that I was going to have to leave my whole existence behind and become this new person And what has happened is actually the opposite. I've been able to incorporate and enhance every aspect of my life. Every single aspect of it has just gotten richer. So instead of this great fear of loss, the opposite actually is the truth. You gain more. So in gaining yourself, you know, in really connecting with yourself, the world truly does, and the experience of the world and the experience of life truly does become limitless, absolutely limitless.
So what kind of experience do people get when they come to you, Lisa? What happens, and what's the first thing when they actually step foot in the grounds?
I've seen so many different people have so many different experiences, but I guess the essence of it is really the same. When people come here, I think that they're, first of all, you know, Vista Caballo is, we're fairly remote. We're north of a little town called Dove Creek in Colorado, and it's very, very ancient land out here. This is where the Paiutes used to live, and you know, buffalo would roam here with the elk and everything. So it really is the West, and it's got that essence and that feel to it. And what I've heard from many people is, I had no idea this part of the country existed. It's so beautiful. It's such a different type of beauty. And they're fairly mesmerized by the space, the quiet, the sense of peace. And I think that's the thing that strikes people most first when they sort of step out of the truck and onto the land. And we don't have any technology here. Everything is really set up for a person to have an experience, an intimate experience with themselves. And they're usually very pleasantly surprised at how quickly they integrate and assimilate. And even people that may have had experiences of remoteness before, there's something very primal about this place. It really is back to basics, and we've kept it that way specifically. And in that, there's an allow for people to come back to their basics. Mm-hmm. And I find that once people do that, once they, you know, they really let down their guard, the opening that comes with that also catches them a bit by surprise. You know, everything roams free here. Our horses, our geese, our chickens, our dogs, our cats. So I think that's another element of surprise, where we've had a lot of people say, well, everyone really gets along here and no one eats anybody. And it's true. It really is sort of, you know, coexisting in a harmonious, you know, harmonious way, and really respecting who resides here. And I've noticed that people will, you know, they will really catch their breath when they see the horses just out roaming around, when they see them, you know, of free choice, choosing to go into the barn or not. We've had our horses, you know, come right up to the cabins. And the other morning we had some clients here, and one of the horses went right up onto the porch and sort of knocked on the door. I'm not sure if they wanted coffee or not, but and that was lovely, you know. And because the horses are allowed to be themselves, they're very calm. So that's lovely for people to experience as well. They're very curious. They understand that they have their place here as well, so it's not like there's any type of fake setup. Mm-hmm. And I find that people find that very refreshing. And they start to really get a sense of, when you talk about communicating or gathering information from a horse, they start to get a sense of what that really is. So all of that, you know, allows them to start to drop into a different way of being, a different way of understanding. Some people, you know, especially those of us who have spent a great deal of time in our head, and, you know, our intelligence and our logic has garnered us a great deal of success, it can be somewhat challenging to allow yourself the possibility that there could be another way to be and to communicate. So at that point, I'll usually take people through a bit of education or theory, if you will, about energy, about the quantum physics of energy, how it really works. We're very fortunate to live in the age of technology, and we're able to see through things like PIP photography, and a lot of the science and medical research is now backing up a lot of what the bioenergetics are telling us. So we'll take people through that type of education so that they can really, their brains can start to make sense of it, and it's not as scary or intimidating. Because once you give the brain some information to chew on, it actually also allows for the body to have its own experience. You know, most people think that all of our intelligence comes from our brain, and as the scientists and the medical research is now showing us, we actually have three brains. We have the brain in our head, and the brain in our chest, our heart, and the brain in our stomach. And the brain in our stomach is actually, that's exactly what they're calling it. It's created, the cells in the stomach are created at the same time in fetal development as the brain, as the cells in our brain. So it is, when you have those gut instincts, it is for real intelligence. And, you know, I know that both of you are familiar with this, the resonance around the heart. You know, it's 1,000 times more than the brain. So when people really start to understand that they've got a lot more intelligence that they can tap into as their own resource, they actually get very excited. And the beauty of being in Vista Caballo is because it is private. We set it up that way so you can really experiment. It's like your own living laboratory. And you can really experiment with connecting with the horses and communicating with the horses and gaining information. And because we don't have all the technology here, because it's set up to be a very serene, peaceful environment, the heart no longer has to protect itself from sensory overload, and the neurons around it can open up. Most people don't understand that. They think that the brain tells the body what to do, and that is true. But what happens as a precursor to that is the neurons from the heart, there are 40,000 neurons that go from the heart to the emotional center in the brain. So in the stillness out here, those neurons actually get a chance to open, and that's when the person is flooded with a whole bunch of new information. So it's actually very simple, and what we do is we actually break it down for people so that they can understand it and integrate it. And that's the beauty of why we've set up what we've set up here. I experienced going through different workshops, different teachings, different classes as part of my education before I came here, but the thing that was really missing for me was that integration time. So for us, that was a very big part of what we wanted to offer here, was time to really assimilate the information, really sit with it, really understand it, really let it drop in on a cellular level, so that when people leave here to go back or forward to wherever they're going, it's done. And so the ripple effect that comes out of that, that's what gets sustained. And that's why the experiences here are so effective, why people appreciate them so much.
You've kind of touched upon it, Lisa, as to where you take, I don't even know if program would be the right word, but I'd love for you to elaborate on what makes you so very different, because there's many different styles out there, from leadership to soul purposes, wisdom courses. There's the therapy type course. So without categorizing, because it doesn't sound like this is a category of any kind, it sounds very unique in itself. And I know what makes it special because you've described that, but explain a little bit more as to what you're incorporating there and the experience itself with the horses.
Well, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, Anna, because it's not a program and it's not a process. And actually, we've had quite a fun challenge, really, doing our best to articulate for people what it is so that they can, it can become more tangible for them. Mm-hmm. And I think in that is really what it is for us and what people experience here. It really is an experience. You know, my feel is that how could I possibly offer a program for an individual or a group of individuals? But because that's what we are. Every single one of us has a fingerprint, and no one before or after us will ever have that fingerprint. So to me, it was actually a dishonor to the uniqueness of our organicness, if you will, by creating a program or a process, because I'm not. What we've done here is we set up a context and we offer enough education and enough safety, a feeling of security, so that people can actually explore themselves. So I'm not sure what to call that. Maybe one of our clients that comes here will know that. But that's really what it is. You know, is a, I guess it would be a facilitation of the different energies coming together and exchanging information, because that's really what it is. I can put it together for someone. I can help people articulate what it is that is not working for them, or where they feel stuck, or where they want to go and why they feel like they can't get there. That's the easy part. But once we get through that articulation, and once someone really starts to trust me, this place, and themselves, that's where the journey really begins. And my best job is to actually just continue to guide them into that place of self-discovery. And I wish I had a better explanation for it. You know, we've had client after client come here, and as a matter of fact, when they leave here, I say, can you please help me articulate this for others? And we usually get the very same answer, which is, it's almost impossible to articulate. I couldn't possibly put words to this experience. You just have to come here to do it. That's what people say. It's almost as if they don't want to put words on it. You know, they feel that the intangibility of it is the magic of it. So to qualify it would almost put it back in the box that they just came out of.
It sounds to me, as I'm hearing you speak, like it's a guided experience and integration of their truth, or of their true self, guiding them back to that through the experience and the integration of it. And it's funny that you say that that the guests who come don't want to put it into words. When we spoke to Dr. Temple Grandin a few weeks ago, a month ago, whatever it was, she was talking about, if you want to understand animal intelligence, you have to get away from language. Mm. And that, and so many people, as you sort of talked around with your explanation previously, intelligence for them is the brain. If you can't speak it, if you can't articulate it, it's not intelligence. And in some cases, it doesn't really count. And you can have an experience, and you can, you know, you can feel a certain way, but it's basically extraneous at best. You have to think it, you have to know it from a mental facility. And what you're saying is exactly the opposite, is that to really get in there and know your truth, know what you're about, you have to completely get away from the language and get away from the mind, from the standpoint of just the brain mind, and really have an experience of being your full being, in effect, of being a human being. And Vista Caballo is a great place to basically be able to do that, because all the distractions are gone. Would that be fair to say?
That would be excellent to say. Yeah, it's so true, because and one of the beauties of the setup here is because when we start to recognize that we are sensory beings, I mean, look, the horse is a 1,200 pound, you know, pure mass of sensoriness, right? They're prey animals. That's what they live on, is they trust their senses. And we've disconnected from that. You know, we rely on all kinds of things to tell us what to do and how to be and where to go. And we've got all the technological devices. And on one hand, we can connect with anybody on the planet. On the other hand, in doing so, we've completely connected from the most important person on the planet, which is yourself. You have to have that first. So by dropping that person back into, you know, the embrace of nature and the animals, they really get a completely different sense of themselves. And that's why Vista Caballo means from the perspective of the horse. When they start to look at themselves from the outside in and then from the inside out, and they start to see different things, that's when their world expands. That's when they get a completely new, renewed sense of reality. That's when they get re-enthused. You know, and like I say, it's so wonderful for people that have achieved so much, and then they go, but why is my financial portfolio, why is that not making me happy anymore? Does it need to be bigger? Do I need more houses? Do I need another car? Do I need, you know, what do I need? And what they need is themselves. And I don't see that we've been educated about ourselves. You know, that's part of, you know, one of the studies that I started doing was all about the human instinct and being able to serve that up for people so that they could understand, listen, when you're craving, you know, safety, security, and whatever, however that means to you, that is your primal human instinct. So don't try and resist that. Embrace it. You know, when you are craving love, that is a primal human instinct. When you are craving to give love, that is a primal human instinct. And we may be some of the only creatures created on Earth that try and disconnect ourselves from our primal instincts because we want to be perceived as different somehow. But when we just embrace our humanness and the wonder of that, that's when the magic starts to happen. Then you really can have and create and experience any type of life that you want. And what I've experienced is that when people get that here, they go out and their lives really do become a living example of miraculousness and profoundness and expansion. And the sharing that comes from that, the generosity that comes from that. And that's my give back. You know, if I can help someone find that place where they feel so safe and so secure that they can just give and give and give, that's my give back to this planet. That's what I'm passionate about.
I've never been able to put it into words what I've been feeling, but I just was able to do it now, just about a particular topic, which is we have many different ways of connecting or making a connection with other people. But the more we pursue the outward ways of trying to connect with them, we actually disconnect more from ourselves, and we don't actually make a genuine connection with those very people that we're trying to connect with through the technology and different things. And what you're talking about with the Vista Caballo experience, that's your new album, Lisa, the Vista Caballo experience, is this is not something, what you're giving them is not something they can learn from a traditional educational aspect. They literally have to change how they see themselves and how they experience the world around them. And that shift in how they are around themselves and in the world creates, in effect, the dramatic change that a lot of people, I think, are trying to force the change through intellectual or study or things like that. So for somebody who's not at Vista Caballo, could you give them maybe a tip or something that you've done or the beginning of the path for them to shift that experience of life from a thinking being to a human being?
what I realized is that success without an open heart does not create satisfaction. Ultimately, it actually will just lead to a pretty substantial accumulation of stress, and then, of course, all of the things that come with stress, a loss of health, a loss of relationship, a loss of intimacy. And so until you can come here, it's very simple. Just ask yourself, am I living from fear, or am I coming from a place of love? And, you know, that word love has been tossed around so much that what I encourage people to do is look at the word, maybe educate yourself, maybe start by taking the step and saying, you know, you've heard, you know, faith. And most people equate faith to religion. I don't. I equate faith to words like courage. And I think courage actually stems from the French word, I could be wrong about this, courage, but which means heart. So are you coming from a place of heart? Are you coming from a place of courage? Courage also means the willingness to change. So if you can really be honest with yourself, look at any situation that you have in your life that is not working, that's not flowing, that doesn't make you happy. Really look at it and get to the base root of it and just notice if it's coming from, if you've come from a place of fear around it, or if you've come from a place of faith or courage or heart. And that will be a very, very, very good directional for you. Whenever something starts to feel sticky or crunchy for me, I look at it and I go, oh, yep, because I'm afraid of whatever. And as soon as I identify whatever that fear is, and then I look at it and I see where it comes from, and I have a little conversation with myself about it, and then I say, but what would it look like if I came from faith or belief or trust or courage in this situation? What would it look like? What would I feel like? And that's how I get myself back on the path. And at first, it can be very challenging. Again, that's why Vistika Bio exists, because, you know, just like with anything, when we first start anything, sometimes it's easier to get a teacher or an expert, you know, to really, you know, give us the ropes. I wouldn't go rock climbing, you know, without first getting some education around it. So if you're ready to climb your mountain, you know, go to an expert and say, what do I need to do? But as you do it, I mean, that's my other passion, is to really give people the tools that they can do it, that they can climb any mountain in any landscape of their life at any point by themselves. That, to me, everyone talks about empowerment. That, to me, is empowerment. Now, it may not be the best business model in the world, but it's working because it is coming from our heart. It is coming from our desire to truly share what I found is true empowerment. And so that's what I would say to the people, you know, that if you're unable to come here, or if you're listening to this and you're just saying, okay, well, I just want to start to experiment with this and see if there's any truth in what she's been saying, try that. Okay? Just experiment with it and see what comes up. And the way that it works is you have to be honest with yourself. And that was the other thing I had to learn, was really, what was I gaining out of fooling myself, really? You know, I mean, maybe there was some embarrassment or humiliation when I had to admit to myself the games that I've been playing with myself, or the lies I've been telling myself, or, you know, the facades that I had wanted to hold on to. But really, at the end of the day, when it came down to it, it was just, you know, me looking at myself and saying, really? Is that really my best offering for myself? And then, you know, how could I expect the rest of my life to be working, because I wasn't even offering myself my best?
It's funny you say the thing about the business model, because so many business models today are about get them coming back, keep them coming back for more, and create more things and more things. And And for you, and I completely agree, the ultimate empowerment is about you never have to come back. You've got all the tools that you really need, and the power is there for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we end up putting ourselves out of business because everybody's suddenly empowered, I think that's a pretty good place
to
be.
That's a good place, yeah.
Well, you know, and I have to share with you, I actually had that very limiting thought, and it was a Mustang who was staying on our property. We had a friend who came, and he brought a couple of his horses, and he was up top in our upper corral. And they were leaving in a few hours, so I went to say goodbye to the horses. And this Mustang, first of all, was, you know, fairly adamant that we at some point should probably have a Mustang because, you know, if we were speaking about, you know, freedom of the human spirit, they were the poster child for it. So where was our Mustang? And then he shared very honestly, you know, with me. He said, okay, you know, here's your gift. You can ask me anything that you want. And it was sort of like, you know, being at the gates of, you know, the library of universal knowledge, and all of a sudden all my questions seemed completely remedial and irrelevant. And I really wanted to get it. I really wanted to get the question. And what came out was this sort of, what I considered sort of a very pathetic, scared, but if we all get enlightened, then what happens? and he was hilarious. I would say he was fairly disgusted. He snorted and literally walked away. And I was like, oh, I completely blew it. And then he came back and he said, all right, you know, sorry about that. I understand that's the level that you're on. It's a bit disappointing, but here you go. And he showed me a picture of what it would look like when we were all enlightened. And it was very light. It was very bright. And it was very wonderful. And the wonderfulness, it came from this sense of complete harmony and the creation for really the whole was so intense, I could almost not take it in. So that's, again, where I had to, and he gave it to me in about like a bite size because he probably knew that that's all I could handle. But it opened me up to, well, that was fear, you know, raising its head right smack in the middle of my enlightened moment with this Mustang. And what he showed me was, when we are all out of fear, what will be, really will be, heaven on earth. And gosh, you know, I'm kind of okay with living in heaven on earth. And who knows, maybe, you know, you're right, maybe we won't have businesses because maybe we won't need businesses. You know, maybe our way of being will be such that none of what we have now will be relevant at all. I'm willing to go there. Like I said, I've had my experience so far, and I've experienced it one way. I've experienced the material wealth. I've experienced the pain. I've experienced the fear. So why do I want to keep experiencing the same thing over and over and just more of it? Because that's the natural course if that's what we're focused on. For me, and I know for the other adventurers and pioneers out there like yourselves, the people that are willing to say, okay, well, what next? This country was founded by pioneers, and we've lost that. And I'm saying, you know, here's my hand. I'm holding it out. You know, come with me, and let's go explore. I don't know what's out there. And, yeah, it could be mountain lions and bears and you know, abysses that we could fall into. But it could also be something so incredibly wonderful that we haven't ever seen it before. It could be that too, could it not? You know, we're so wired for fear, and you know, the media is geared towards that type of sensationalism, that we've stopped developing our frontal cortex of our brain, which is the place of possibility. But what if something incredible could be out there? And I know that there are people on this planet that are already there. They're already creating incredible, wonderful new gizmos and gadgets for us to live in a new environment. People are so surprised when they come to Vista Caballo, and yes, we're in rolling rural farmland, and then we take them to what I call our backyard, which is known as the Baby Grand Canyon. And 1 minute they're in rolling farmlands, and the next minute they're looking over the edge of what we call the rim. And they're in awe at the beauty. And life can be like that too. Sometimes if you just go around the bend and just look around the tree, you can really see something magnificent. And that's what fills us up with inspiration. And when we're inspired, that's when life happens. You know, I call it living life fully alive, fully. And that all of it is important. It's just keeping it in balance. And that's what the animals do. That's what nature does. And that's what my calling is for people, is come back to balance. Come back to balance in yourself. And if this is the way to help you start to find it, great. And sometimes it's all it takes is a little start, a little spark.
And Lisa, can you, just so people have a clear understanding, can you define what you think of as fear? Because I know a lot of people out there, they'll say, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not living a life of fear. Because they're imagining that the only thing about fear is, am I literally having a fear reaction towards something right now? And if they're not, they don't count that as fear. So what's your definition of fear?
Again, another superb question. I guess I would have to say my definition of fear is anything that keeps you small, anything that keeps you from living your fullest. So yes, there is a very primal fear instinct. You know, if you're walking across the street and a bus is coming at 60 miles an hour towards you, that's a feeling of fear. But I would really challenge anybody that says, I do not live, you know, with fear except on that primal level. Actually, I'd love to meet them. Please contact me. I must study with you. Because I think, again, that's what I'm talking about. When we really get into ourselves, we can actually see, you know, I didn't think I was a fearful person. I thought I was a very successful entrepreneur, a very loving person, a very giving person. But what was driving me inherently was fear. I knew that, you know, I had to make a certain amount of money so I could have this certain life. And I'm not saying that that's not important. It is, of course. Again, those are very basic primal needs. We have to take care of those in order to sustain ourselves. What I'm saying is how we take care of those. Is it just as sort of a matter of course of like, okay, well, this is my basic primal need, and what am I going to do to get that? Am I going to do it out of my curiosity and my intelligence and my love and my courage, or am I going to do it out of a desperate fear that if I don't do it, I'm going to die? Because there's two completely different aspects. So I would ask people that say, you know, well, I'm not afraid of anything. Fantastic. Great. You have now achieved a certain level of beingness, a certain level of consciousness, and then I would say to them, so where are you going with it? Are you teaching others how to live that way? How are you furthering your own existence in that fearlessness?
I think that's a great definition. So let me ask you, if somebody wants to come back into balance and experience their life as the total being that they are, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, they can ring me. Our phone number is 970-677-2253, or they can send me an email, and they can reach me at ld@vistacaballo.com, and those are the best ways to reach me.
Fantastic. And it is, of course, Vista Caballo in Dove Creek, Colorado.
It is.
I think Anne and I both agree you're doing fantastic work out there.
I know, I'm just doing my usual where I sit down and listen and try and absorb it all. And I think you're going to attract the people that need to be there.
That, yeah, I agree.
You know, it's one of those things of, if had you offered to that me, Anna trying to speak, had you offered that to me probably about 15 years ago, I wouldn't have understood what you're talking about. And I'm looking at my life then and how I felt, and I would have thought, wow, you know, I've got my horse and I've got my dog and I know what nature is, and just sitting there might not be my thing. So not everybody will know what they don't know.
Yeah.
And not everybody will know what this experience will bring. But I know over the years that Vin also has been, you went to the retreats where you were quiet and silent for days and living amongst the monks, right? Mm-hmm. And so it reminds me a lot of that when you're talking, that a lot of it will be the stillness, the quietness. And for me, quietening the mind was one of the most challenging things to do over the years. And it's what took so long for me to become an animal communicator, was that I just couldn't do that. And when people would say, sit down and meditate or just be, I found that more frustrating than anything, because my mind couldn't grasp just being. I didn't know how to do it. And so I was the loser on every course. I was the one not being able to do it, which makes you then probably more self-conscious and thinking about it, and the more you think about it, the more you can't do it. And so there's so much to this that you're offering that I'm thinking about myself also, and I'm going, wow, now to put me there would be very different. Now I'd be able to connect and be quiet, but I'd still have certain challenges. I'd still have certain challenges to come away from my business, despite the fact that I work horses, that I'm in nature, that I'm talking to animals. I still have to create that space to do that. So people ask me, do you walk through a barn and are the horses talking to you? No, they're not. I create the space for it. It's like I put the hat on when you watch, what was her name?
Lisa Williams.
Lisa Williams. She puts her little hat on to disconnect from talking to those that have passed over. And when her hat's off, she talks to them. For me, it's not dissimilar. I'll find that space to talk to them, or I'll be in my left brain and more active and doing all my marketing things and so on. So to think about just coming and what it would have to your place, Vista Caballo, and what it would have meant to me 15 years ago to what it would mean today is extraordinarily different.
And I'm going to make a prediction. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to be able to resonate with this and be interested. But I'm speaking to one person. This might be you, so listen carefully. If what we're speaking about doesn't quite make sense or doesn't feel right, or you just don't get it, you're completely lost, write down two words on a piece of paper, Vista Caballo, and then put that piece of paper in with all your other stuff. Because what's going to happen is you're going to find that piece of paper sometime in the future, and you're going to go, this is exactly what I need. And I think I understand what they're talking about right now. And then you'll know how to get a hold of Lisa D.
Totally on that page, Vin. And it doesn't matter where they are. I guess, to just close my story,
yes,
I guess it wouldn't matter if you're where I was 15 years ago. And I loved my life then, although I was the one that broke down multiple times. You'd find me in different places huddled. But it was still that thing of the certain aspects that I loved about my life. But I wasn't where I am today. Very, very active individual, physically, sporty, very active, athletic, etc. But I look now, and it would have served me then, but I wouldn't have known. And it would serve me now, where I do know. So it doesn't matter where you are in your path. If you wouldn't know why you're being drawn to Lisa, you'd go. And if you want a moment's break to find yourself, you'd go. If you've got questions, you'd go. If you want the horse to mirror who you are, you'd go. I mean, there's so many reasons why you'd visit, Lisa.
Well, you guys are both so kind. I really appreciate it. And one thing I want to say, not only to you, but to anybody that is hearing this, is, you know, to really offer some encouragement. And again, one thing about nature, and we are nature. We are part of nature. We're not separated. We're you know, we're another species that lives on this planet, it is in the challenge that we grow. one of the reasons that we created a nature experience, you know, out here with the horses, is because that's actually when the neurons in the brain start firing. So, and actually a lot of the education is in many different arenas, is turning to the experiential type of learning for that very reason. But you know, two rocks, you know, grinding together is what can cause a crystal. So it's the challenge that makes us grow. And I just leave that as a real word of encouragement. It's not about how, you know, we find what we're looking for. It's just the knowledge and belief that when you're ready for the challenge, the right place to experience that challenge will be there. And it may be Vista Caballo, it may be, you know, many of the other offerings that are out there, but just trust yourself, trust your heart. Really, if you do that, you will never be led wrong. You will never throw yourself over the precipice. Just listen to your heart, and it will take you there. Your instinct will take you there. It will support you in your decision making.
That's sound advice there, Lisa. And I want to thank you for coming on the show today. It's always a pleasure to sit down and talk to you and listen to your insights. And I'm very excited to continue our path together and see where it goes with my open heart, my open mind, and see just how far we travel and where we go together. So thank you for all that you're giving to the people and offering them through facilitating this environment. And I'm sure they're going to have an amazing time. We'll look at your blog or your website to see all the little write-ups that they do and how they express that.
Thank you so much, Anna. I've got to get my blog up now.
yeah, exactly.
You've got a month. Make it happen.
Right.
Well, again, Lisa, thank you for coming on. We've had a great time speaking with you, and I'm sure we're going to speak to you many, many times in the future.
Oh, you guys are just, you're the best.
Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. This is your humble producer and co-host, Vincent Mancarella. Anna and I are working hard to bring the best of the best into your house each and every episode, and we would love to hear from you. Is there someone you'd like us to interview? Do you have a question for Anna? Or maybe you just want to drop us a line to tell us how much you enjoy the show. Whatever the reason, we want to know what's on your mind. Just send your question, suggestion, or thought to question@reachouttohorses.com. That's question@reachouttohorses.com. Thanks for listening. Tune in next time when we talk with our next amazing, inspiring guest on Reaching Out with Anna Twinney.